Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. That's mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. Before we jump into our conversation, we told you we're going to keep you updated on things that come out of what's happening in Boston. The FBI is having a press conference now as we speak with various really important things that they say we don't already know, that we're going to bring that to you during the course of the show so you can hear what's going on, not this particular segment of the show, but this show. What we all do know is what an important announcement was just made by the three area Boston hospitals that expect all their patients from the marathon bombing to survive, which is good. So three have passed. It looks as if no more will pass. And also there's been the mail that we've talked about. No suspicious mail. No danger was found in suspicious mail sent to Senator Flake's Phoenix office, and also they're investigating those that happened in Washington. All that will come up later in the program, but. If anything really breaks, we will certainly break in and tell you what's happening in Boston. Right now, we turn it over to where I want to go, where we need to go, which is my dear friend, incredible songstress who has been singing for a long time.
Eons.
Eons. Ethel Ennis.
Hi, Mark.
How
Hi.
Are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay for an old girl.
Not bad for old girls. And her husband's here, Earl Annette, who knows she's not bad. And good to have you in the studio, Earl, again, once again.
Mark, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
A great Baltimore journalist, and they fell in love and been together for how many years now? You've been married?
46. We're counting, yeah.
46 years. And Terry Turner's in the house. Terry Turner is co-chair of the Marquee Ball at the Creative Alliance this Saturday night that is honoring Ethel.
That's right.
Let me get that mic into so you can talk into the mic, then we can really hear you.
Is that a little better?
That's much better.
Yes, the Creative Alliance is delighted to be honoring Ethel Ennis this Saturday, April 20th, with its Lifetime Achievement Award.
So I was going to ask you about that. So what's going to happen Saturday night?
So Saturday night is going to be three parties in one. Mm-hmm. There's the dinner at which Miss Ennis will be honored, as well as the Robert W. Deutsch Foundation, which will be receiving the Golden Formstone Award from the Creative Alliance. There will be a party in the new Marquee Lounge, and with a sort of a film noir theme to that. And there will also be the dance party, which starts at 9:30. And I'm going to talk about the dance party because everything else is already sold out.
Everything is sold out.
So we are inviting people to come to the dance party starting at 9:30. It's a great party. The Belvederes will play. It's kind of a soulful band with a little bit for everyone. Better still? Yeah. So we would very much like people to come and dance. And $40 in advance, $45 at the door, includes a little bit of food, a little bit of wine, a little bit of beer, and a very good time.
All right. That sounds good. I thought you were joking before we came. Before we saw you, I asked you, were you singing? You singing that night, and you went, no.
I'm receiving.
That's right.
And you should receive. It should receive. But you still do sing.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully until I can't, until maybe I realize I can't.
Well, this is what happens, Mark, when you, hang around for a long time and don't die and don't get arrested, you know. you get honored, you get an award.
Yeah.
That happened to you not too
Except
long ago.
Except I was
right?
arrested.
Yeah.
Oops. Or I had been arrested in the past. It's been a while. So, you know, just going backwards for a moment, I think that you grew up in this town.
Yeah.
This is your place.
Yeah, this is it. I'm a Baltimorean.
In Baltimore. You grew up in Sandtown?
Definitely. The Gilmore Homes.
And Gilmore Homes in those days is different than Gilmore Homes of...
Oh, of today, yes. Quite different. I think we moved in 41 when they first opened.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they were not a place of terror and crime. I mean,
no.
There was always, our place was always tough, and there were always tough guys around, but it was different.
Very different. Yeah. Everything must change, right?
Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, I was going to ask you about that, just because those kind of pieces of history are important. I've always, while you reflect on why it was so different, do you think? People were struggling, you know, people had jobs, a lot of them, but people were struggling, people were poor. people, you know, kind of made it. Families were intact for the most part.
Oh, definitely, yeah. That was really family. Now today we have extended families, and I know we did lose a lot. And I sing a song, you know, about the line is, "Don't let values decline." Well, forget that, you know, and it's hard to bring back. You just have to work with what is. When the genie is out the bottle, you have to work with it.
That's right. And so when you went to Douglas?
Yes, I did. And then I went to Cortez Business School, Cortez
everybody
Peters.
Everybody went to Cortez Business School. That was a popular place for people to go.
I'm telling you. Right. And I was presented with the shorthand award of my class. And I still use my shorthand.
Can you still do it?
Oh, sure. Reading it is something, you know, if it gets too cold.
but those things do stay with you, like shorthand,
yes,
typing,
yes.
No matter what happens, they stay in your head.
Right, right.
They don't go away.
Well, yeah, you know, my grandmother used to tell me, hey, you got to have something to fall back on in case the singing, you know, doesn't make, you know, you got to get a good, you know, real job.
She was big in your life.
Oh, very. Honey, you used to call her.
Honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want to make sure that you did things the right way.
Oh, to be the lady that I am.
was it your mother or your grandmother who warned you about that first band you played in coming out of high school? You played piano,
I was
right?
playing piano, yeah. It was so funny because I remember working over on Pulaski Highway, Sherry's Show Bar. And I put on my strapless dress and my grandmother said, "Ethel, where's your undershirt?" You don't wear an undershirt with a strapless gown. So I was showing a little too much meat for her.
I love that. Now, I have to ask this question. In that group you played in, what bars in the block did you play in?
I think I was, 32?
Yeah. Club 32?
No. It was called Sherry's Show Bar. The Surf Club was...
The Surf Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go farther out and you pass Sherry's Bar. It was then. It wasn't a show bar. It was a bar. Mm-hmm.
So I just think about those days. I mean, they were... there was a great jazz scene in this town.
Then? Yes.
It was good.
I believe so. The people used to club hop a lot, you know, go from one club all the way, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue.
When you ever drive down Pennsylvania Avenue sometimes, either one of you just kind of look at it and...
Sure, more than once.
And just think about, oh, my God, the way it looks now and what's happened to it, what it was like. Even into the 60s, it was alive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With life and people and clubs and... People clean and dressed up and hanging out.
Yeah. they're hanging out now. Not too clean.
Well, there's a lot of community building to be done, Mark. And one of the reasons we like what you do here at WAA is because you help, you know, build and sustain community. Mm-hmm. You know, the sense of people being together, sharing ideas.
Right. That's important.
One of the things that put the kibosh in Baltimore in the 60s was the riot of 68. You know, parts of that block, we're talking about Pennsylvania Avenue, burned. And a lot of folks, lost the desire to go out and socialize, particularly black and white together.
Oh, yes.
And that remains a problem in Baltimore. You know?
Even then, we had the Left Bank Jazz Society, which was a place everybody kind of commingled and hung out together. Mm-hmm.
And I can't let the opportunity pass to say that one of the things I think is very attractive about the Creative Alliance generally and this ball specifically is it really is one of those venues that brings people together.
Yes.
It always attracts from across all of the demographics of Baltimore. There are not that many places that can say that. This is one of them, and it's part of what makes it sort of special.
It's true. I love the Creative Alliance. They did an amazing job. They grew from a little second-story place in Fells Point to this incredible institution they built on the east side, which is Patterson Park, which is just amazing. So let's play a little cut. We're going to play some. We have rolled up there. Is it You Gotta Be? Can we play that one? Is that good?
Sure, why not?
I'm not sure. We're going to check, see what year this is from. I should know this since I'm hosting the show.
I should know that I recorded it.
Try to keep your head up to the sky. Lovers may cause you tears. Go and release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool. You gotta be calm. All I know, love will save the day. Yeah. Listen to what your mother said. Read the books your father read. Try to solve puzzles in your mind. Some may have more cash than you. Others take a different view. My, oh my. You gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger, you gotta be cool, gotta be calm, stay together. All I know.
All right, that voice.
Voice of a wise woman.
Oh, there's no question about that.
You've been reading.
Yeah, no question about that. But you know, one of the things we talk about all the time, you can't help but talk about it, is that you play with the greatest folks in jazz across America, across the globe. And made your decisions about what was going to be most important in your life. Didn't stop your career.
No, it didn't. No.
But you built a career the way you wanted to build it.
Yes, and you can do what you want to do. And, of course, a lot of folks do not agree, but singing chose me. And to sing my way through life, it's all right with me.
Still got it. I love it.
We kind of like it too, Ethel.
Last time on the show, you did a duet with Shodaka, remember?
Oh, yes.
That was great.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. Yeah,
I was
right.
Working on it. Got my little voice in there.
No, it's kind of nice to do what you want to do. And I probably will say this. In my thanks to Creative Alliance, that to be honored and to be presented with an award, living your life the way you want to live it,
right.
and other people enjoying it and they responding, so that's great.
I think it's amazing. So you and Earl, I mean, I'm just curious. You know, it's the two of you. We all know the two of you crossed the color line to get married.
We did?
Way back. That's what they would say when they want to put people in jail for doing it. But you had to go out of state to get married. But a lot of people look to this now. I always say the people that I know who are the happiest in life, or people who have, through thick and thin, all the things people go through, who stick it out and stay together and keep the love growing and don't just walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty good. Right?
Well, it's easy, really.
Hello.
You know, love is easy. We're the ones who make it hard, you know. And with Ethel and me, it's funny because I just was reading a love letter I wrote to her. We met in March of 1967. I wrote a love letter to her in April. Went out to California to meet her in May, and we got married in August.
Wow.
And
wow, whirlwind.
She was asking me then, what does love mean to you? Mm-hmm. And I was saying, well, you know, it should be easy, you know, and free and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than sex.
Right.
And that's what our marriage has been, you know. It's been all those things.
The friendship.
Oh,
isn't
very
that a big
important.
Piece of it?
Oh, very,
huge.
Very important. You got to like someone.
Enjoy.
Loving them is fine, but liking them, you know?
Right. And you have to enjoy being with each other's company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. We haven't had a bad day.
Get out.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
I believe you. I know you wouldn't lie.
You know, no, I wouldn't lie to you.
I know you wouldn't.
If we had a bad day, Earl never did let me know.
Well, we're almost reluctant to tell people that because they think it's unbelievable after 46 years that you could speak that way. But it does happen. We're an example of that. Mm-hmm. And it can happen more often than people think.
I guess that's just being open, honest, letting each other person be who they are.
Respect. And respect. You got to respect. Mm-hmm.
And share. You know, marriage is a partnership. Right. Of equals, hopefully, and being open and, you know, not secrets. We talk. I amuse Ethel, she says. I keep her laughing.
That's good. I can see that. I can see that. I can see that. And you've had this house, I know, that, and you haven't moved from that house in
50 years.
50 years. And wait a minute. Tell us, so you all gave up your car.
Yeah.
Right? More than 20 years ago, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess the last car we purchased was in 1972.
People associate New York with, you know, being able to live without a car, but you can do that here too. You know, I like to walk, and we live near a subway station. If we need a car, we rent one. And when you rent a car, you're always renting a new car. You
know, that's right. It looks good. I have one outside I have to use now for the next few days. Convertible Mustang. I'm having a good time.
I mean, it's still an East Coast city, so it's walkable and doable without a car. Now, you can't do it in some of the West Coast cities, obviously, but in Baltimore you can if you want.
So that was a conscious decision y'all made.
Yeah.
To just say, we don't want a car.
Earl hates cars.
I do. I don't like the internal combustion engine at all.
Smart man. Has done us a lot of harm.
Probably more harm than good, tell you the truth.
Right.
We move around in cars going fast, often not knowing why or where.
So even when you had Ethel's place, the club, you weren't driving. That's right. Cause that was
No. It was funny. You got to tell that. You got to tell the story with...
Jackson?
No, not Jackson. You picked up...
I did have a car. It was the car we bought in 72 and it was aging. And it was an old big Mercury. And I used to pick up artists at the airport.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you remember Les McCann.
Oh, yeah.
Les was coming into town to sing. I picked him up at the airport. We're driving up Calvert Street just beyond the War Memorial. And the muffler falls off, and it's a summertime, so we're clanking up Calvert Street, and Les is leaning out, waving to people, and saying, "We just got married." Shortly thereafter, the old car, you know, bit the dust.
Yeah,
And we had a fan of Ethel's place who gave us a car that we used until the place closed. Then we went back to our carless ways.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's very good. See, and then we had Terry. They picked him up, brought him over here.
Well, I wasn't going to point that out, but yes.
That's good, though.
I didn't know he hated
my
car.
She has a beautiful car. No, he. No, Earl doesn't want to be responsible for cars. He doesn't want to wash them. He doesn't want to have them fixed. It does, you know.
Actually, we've taken several car trips across the country, and I enjoy that. I would rather do that than take up an airplane.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
He doesn't want to be responsible for cars.
I understand. I understand completely. I wish I could live without one. It's got to be a way. I got to move back into the city. Maybe I can live without one.
Well, and you can artfully rent one, you know. And when you do that, in many cases it's tax deductible and you're not worried about maintenance or insurance. Or credit card takes care of that. I mean, it has its advantages.
See? Some lessons here. By the way, we're open at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Ethel Ennis and Earl Arnett's here as well. Terry Turner, who is Vice President of the Creative Alliance's Board of Trustees, that this weekend, Saturday night, is honoring Ethel at the Great Marquee Ball, which I was at last year, which was wonderful. And the dinner and stuff is sold out, but you can still go and get your tickets for...
Dance.
And we're not allowed to say price. There's a big note saying... We can't talk prices on public radio.
My bad. So sorry.
You didn't know. I should have said something. But but you can still get tickets. And how do you get tickets?
You can get tickets. Can I say the website?
That you can do.
Excellent. It's www.creativealliance.org. So you can order tickets online there. You can call the Creative Alliance, and I can give you that number, which I will locate momentarily. Or you can stop by the Creative Alliance at the Patterson and get the tickets there as well.
So you know, we're going to go to break in a minute. Maybe you should play a little song going to break. We're going to come back and spend like 15 or 20 minutes with Ethel and with Earl and Terry here. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. Let's pick up with, what do you think? Loverman? Should we go out with Loverman for a couple of minutes?
Oh, really? Did I record that?
Says you did.
Okay.
Unless someone's faking it over here. Can you cue that one up? All right, Loverman, here we go.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what I've been missing, lover man. Oh, where can you be? The night is cold and I'm so all alone. I'd give my soul just to call you mine. Got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Loving man, oh, where can you be? I've heard it said that the thrill of romance could be a heavenly dream, but I go to bed with a sweet prayer you'll be love to me. Stranger.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I am here with Ethel Ennis. Always a joy to have her in the studio. And we're building quite a collection of conversations and shows with Ethel Ennis over the last 20 years here on the show. And so we have to make this into a special, put them on the web, our conversations with Ethel. And I think in every program we've had with Ethel, Earl Arnett has been in the studio as well. They don't separate very easily.
I'm glad you noticed that.
And Terry Turner's here, the Vice President of the Creative Alliance Board of Trustees, is honoring Ethel this Saturday night at the Marquee Ball. She's co-chair of that ball and Vice President of their Board of Trustees.
That's right.
Right.
And the funds that are raised by the ball go to support the youth education programs for the Creative Alliance. We're trying to grow the next generation of great artists like Miss Ennis here in Baltimore and in the Baltimore region. And so toward that effort, in addition to the dance, we have an art auction that is curated by our Board of Trustees member, Amy Race, who is a curator from Goya Contemporary. And we have over 100 artists who are going to be exhibiting. That will open 5:30 tonight for a preview to 7:30. And then you can bid straight through to 11 o'clock Saturday night when the auction closes. And you can take home your cherished, beautiful new piece of art. And as I said, all to a worthy cause. And we share with the artists the proceeds from that. So
that's phenomenal.
Because that supports what we do as well. We're trying to grow art and artists.
Baltimore has a wonderful arts heritage, not just jazz music, but it's deep and rich. I don't know that in recent decades we've done as much as a city that we could have or could do to promote that. there was a period during the Schaefer administration in the 70s when arts kind of exploded through the city fair and other venues. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see Creative Alliance continue that tradition because it's here. It's always been here in the people.
No, and it was in the early 70s, there was that, it was also part of it was the federal money that came in that kind of allowed you. I mean, I was able to start two theater companies with young people back in the early 70s. And during the 70s, because that money was there to do that stuff then.
And it dried up in the 80s because of an infamous president.
Yes, right.
We won't mention.
We won't mention, but.
Yeah. And it's obviously not an add-on to who we are. It's central to who we are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No question about that.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones here. People calling in at 410-319-8888. On the way, we were just talking before we went to break that on that piece you just heard, Jerry Mulligan was on the sax. Ray Brown was on the bass.
Yes.
Recorded at Ethel's Place here in Baltimore.
Right.
Wow. Amazing. And then I'm going to talk about Benny Goodman when we finish this phone call.
Okay.
A little bit. 410-319-8888. Frida, you're on the air.
Hi. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, love.
Yes.
Good, because I'm outside.
good for you.
No, I'm outside going around the lake, but I heard something on the radio, and I just had to call in. First, thank you. So I would like to congratulate the couple on being together for so long. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I hope I can be a part of the dance event. But I did want to have a question. I'm one of those rare people who do believe relationships can actually last for a lifetime without a whole lot of drama. But it's hard to believe that you cannot have a bad day. So can you expand on that?
I love it. We all want to know that secret.
All right, Earl, you want to be first?
How can you go through 46 years of marriage without having a bad day? Actually, that's an interesting – I ought to write a book about that.
You should. That would grab people's attention.
Well, you just like being together. It's mental, spiritual, physical. You just enjoy the other person's presence and company. And if it's open and free, that it just feeds on itself. So every day is a new day and an enjoyable day and a day of laughter and a day of love. It sounds, it's as simple as that, believe it or not.
Okay. Well, Earl, what do I always tell you?
Well, you tell me a lot of things. I'll have to.
That's a very good and safe answer. I can see why this is laughing.
Apparently, listening skills don't matter so much.
Well, he's listening. He's listening.
I always tell him, I said, I prayed you up. I was married before, and I said, oh, my goodness, this is terrible. So I really put out into my higher self, and who knows, and my goodness, look who's here.
Well, Ethel wrote a blues, said, you made me a better woman for another man.
That's right.
I'm the other man.
I know. That's a great song. I love that song.
Yeah, loving you, yeah, made me a better woman for another man. And I'm telling you, that's why we married so soon, because I knew what I didn't want.
and you found somebody you did want.
Right.
So I was just thinking about that song. And some of the other songs you've written, you really do. You when you've written songs, your own pieces, they really tell stories. I mean, your songs are like you're like a storyteller.
Yeah.
You tell things that are real about your life, what you perceive about existence, your thoughts about who we are as human beings. I mean, you're a poet in that sense.
I think so, and I hope to continue to write. Along those lines, I have to write about what I know and what I have experienced, and if I can put them in words that will help someone along their life path, that's all that's what I want to do. That's my legacy. I would like to leave that with those words. The last one I wrote was I mentioned to a friend a few years ago when I first started this thought. Get the L out of God. And the guy said, what? What did you say? Get the L out of what? I said, get the L out of God. I said, well, no, that doesn't get it. I have to kind of change it. So now it's called gold. We have to get the L out of gold to end with God.
I do like that.
Okay, you do?
Yeah, the concept, completely.
Yeah, all right. Okay, good. I'll continue.
We were talking, you know Howard Thurman is, right? Yeah. Howard Thurman, the theologian.
Oh, yes.
Right, right?
Yeah, Thurman, yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's almost like part of his philosophy of life.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
He really was against churches bringing in money and being all about making money.
Ooh.
And
that's
mm-hmm. what a lot of churches are about today, this
yes.
prosperity gospel and
yes.
all that stuff. That he really kind of challenged, and King challenged that.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize King was like, Martin Luther King was opposed to all that too. He had that very different
yeah.
idea about that, you know, and it's, that's important.
Yeah. Here we are in a land of greed. The years have spawned a hungry breed. Here with us, cloaked in slick facade, loving gold in the name of God.
Oof. Go ahead, girl. I love it.
I'm
yes.
glad you do.
I like it.
I'm glad we're here to say this.
Have you recorded that one?
That's in my upcoming project, which I'm trying to, right now, subject to change.
Uh-huh.
The title will be Ethical Ethel.
Ooh.
Oh, you love that too?
Oh, my God. Yes.
I'm hitting you good today.
You are, baby. Yes.
One of the things that we want to celebrate Saturday night in giving Ethel this Lifetime Achievement Award is her lifetime of being true to herself and who she is, and having her own priorities and values be the most important thing in her life. And that's hard when you're an artist and you have as much talent as she does to keep that true north. But she definitely has done that, and that's
no
worthy of celebration.
I can't wait.
My goodness, Terry. Oh, don't have me tearing.
And I can't wait. Now I really want to hear these songs and read these songs that you ethically went. Ethical Ethel. Yeah.
No, she is a poet. She thinks in phrases, you know, and she has a whole book of what we call Ethelisms that we may eventually turn into a printed book.
We should.
Because they're little pithy phrases that express philosophies of life. And Ethel's always been like that.
Earl, when you introduce her Saturday night, will you share some of those with us?
That's a thought. Why not?
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, we're all about sharing. You know,
yeah,
we have no secrets.
That's what it is, right.
What were you about to say, Ethel?
He was talking about Ethelism. One I do really like, and I think it's appropriate, you know, today. The more we care less, the more careless we become. Mm. And we're there, you know. And I don't understand. Well, you have to be taught to care, I guess. And that seems to be diminishing.
I think it is diminishing. I think it is. I mean, we've lost. I think that L thing we've lost a lot in terms of what we think is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's true.
Compassion is not hip, and that's unfortunate because it really is. I mean, that compassion is the glue that holds us together, and mm-hmm. a lot of that glue is dried out.
You know, I was thinking about when we were talking about what happened in Boston, and we've been covering that obviously because it was so horrendous and horrible, and. We knew of a couple of people who were hurt there, and two things popped in my mind when that was happening. Was one, will this make us more empathetic with all the people in Iraq and other places who go through this every day,
mm-hmm.
getting blown up like this for no reason,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know? And one of the things that really struck me was there were hundreds of pictures on the internet of Iraqis,
mm-hmm.
holding up signs saying, "We are with you, Boston."
Oh, mm-hmm.
It exists in the
mm-hmm.
world, but we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to unearth that. It's usually the hatred you want to unearth. You know, it's like CNN. What they do, they said the first suspect has been arrested and he's dark skinned. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot we don't talk about, and that's another reason why we like your show, because you do talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
We hate sweeping things underneath the rug. And to answer that woman's question in the past, part of a successful marriage is not having secrets. Between the two of you, you don't sweep things underneath the rug. You talk about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be talking about the important things, the things that bring us and keep us together. You do that, Mark, and we admire you for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was going to ask you this question. I really wanted to do it because I was thinking about all the people you've worked with, and I was thinking about the funny story I remember you told in the show years back about your dog biting Miles Davis. So I never forgot that story.
You're right. Yeah.
Lady, what's the dog's name? Lady Day?
Lady Day,
right?
Yeah, Lady Day.
But you played with Benny Goodman. You worked with Benny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just curious. I always wanted to ask you about both those men from your perspective. What was Benny Goodman like?
Well, he was a quiet man. As far as I know, he was a quiet man. Man of few words. He liked... Well, I do remember in New York at one of the rehearsals, someone handed him a manuscript of Duke Ellington's tune, thinking that, you know, he would play this, you know, perform the tune while on tour. And he glanced at it and he just threw it aside. So I guess, yeah.
Wow.
I guess that would have been, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he liked the dissonance, you know, in,
right,
you know, Ellington's music. Right. He was more of a, you know, straight ahead swing.
One of that order.
Yeah,
one of
right.
Order. I want to order it.
Well, that was, you know, kind of strange to see. And
that's
kind of, you know, kind of told me where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to, you know, take the music, and he just said, no, I don't, you know, I probably don't want to do that. And that was one thing I learned about him. And I mean, one time it was kind of fun. I might have shared this with you before. I think it was at the last part of the tour, he decided to do a tune that he hadn't done before. And I think it was My Old Flame. Yeah, My Old Flame. And I said, oh, my goodness, he's going to do the verse? I do not remember the verse. And I said, oh, my. So we're on stage, and he's playing the intro. And then he bows to me as, okay, Ethel, get your lips ready. And I did, and nothing was being heard, and I'm just mouthing, and he's looking at me with this, you know, complex look, and he's watching the engineers pulling and wondering what's going on, you know, the plug-in. And then we got to the part I knew. My old flame. And there was a sigh of relief.
I love it.
No, that's a terrible feeling.
That must, yeah, when you, oh, yes.
You had to cover yourself, though, you know.
Quick thinking.
It's like being an actor on stage and not getting the line right, or and forgetting the line. Or
oh, that happens all the time. And in songs, I say, oh, what? And you really know it's coming, and that's when it really goes away. And I just say, macaroni and cheese, and people laugh.
It's famously happened to a few people with the national anthem, right? Although not to you.
Not
you
to Ethel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not to Ethel. I do that. That was a wonderful job she did that day.
Yeah. Amazing. I believe first a cappella.
I was the first.
First a cappella.
I was first, yeah. And then
the presidential inauguration.
Well, I used to listen to the anthem, you know, late at night when TV was going off. They used to do the anthem.
Oh, yeah, right. When TV used to go,
right.
Shh.
Yeah, right.
TV was over.
Before the shh. And I said, it needs more. And I said, oh, free. I said, black folks need more free. So I'm going to put that emphasis on free.
Oh, God, I wish we had that queued up to go out with, but we don't. Before we have to roll, tell us again about the concert.
All right.
About what's going on Saturday.
So Saturday night will be the Marquee Ball at the Creative Alliance at the Patterson on Eastern Avenue at East. That's 3134 Eastern Avenue.
And the dance party will start at 9:30. The band is the Belvederes. The music is great for moving and dancing and grooving. And there's beer, there's wine. It'll be a good time. Please come. And it goes to support our efforts to grow the next generation of artists.
All right. Ethel Ennis, Earl Arnett. I love you both. Thank you for coming to the studio.
No, this has been fun. I'm always like...
I know.
You do.
I do know.
You do know.
I do know.
But, no, you made it easy and fun. You really did. Thank you.
It's good to have you here always, both of you. And great to meet you.
Nice Tara meeting Jen. You, too.
Good to have you here. And check out the Creative Alliance. We can take a brief break and come back and wrestle with issues and prisons and deaths and more. Stay with us.